welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Feature Interview. Today I have a man who's here. This film is awesome. He guides me up very early, people, so he's going to carry the whole conversation for us. I have Giles Gambino, and his film Anarchy Radio is available somewhere. I know he'll tell us. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, where did this idea come from? Like, it's kind of a mismatch of a lot of things rolled into one, and it kind of ends up in a weird spot.
The origin of the idea comes from an inspiration from a book called from Dan Simmons, and it's not exactly the same story, of course. But the inspiration comes from those people who can control the minds of other people, you know.
And did you like that? Like, was that something you personally believe in?
I think maybe not at this level, but some people are able to manipulate other people quite widely, quite strongly. Not at that level, not mind to mind, maybe, you know. So it's maybe kind of a metaphor. But the whole thing about control and mind control and all that stuff is around, is everywhere. I mean, publicity, commercial, politics, there is mind control everywhere. You know, everybody, they are trying to induce you into buying something, voting for someone. It's all behaving a certain way.
Well, isn't it describing the role of a director right there? Isn't that your job, to control and direct and tell people what to do?
Yes, I'm the master controller.
So you start off with a very elaborate setup, I would say, for people this age doing their radio show. Where did that come from? Like, how long did it take you to collect that items?
What do you mean?
The exactly, setup of the radio room, I called it, where they do the show.
It was a studio. We rented a studio, a movie studio, small one in Phoenix, and we had to set it up. Like, because it's a low budget movie, so everybody was bringing stuff, and someone was bringing a guitar, another one an amplifier, and the guys from the studio they helped us with some gear, like mics and stuff, and we just build it up.
And that thing is, I wish my studio looked that good, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, so, well.
As your low-budget production, I did notice you have a pool sequence early on, and you have a ton of people at this preferred indie film. You don't see that. You usually have like three people at a party. No, you have a full-on pool party. So I was trying to figure out, was this the cast party at the end, or just you invited everybody you knew?
I invited everybody. So, if you don't know the people, you cannot see that, but there is friends of the whole crew and moms and dads. And, you know, we had the chance to have actors with a lot of friends, a lot of connections. So he said, yeah, do you want to be in the scene, and it's going to be a party, and we're going to have drinks, etc. So everybody came.
Perfect. So how was that for you shooting? I mean, you're shooting, obviously you got to shoot your main actors. I get that. But did you have to do a lot of blocking, say, people, I got to shoot, you need to stay over here, or you just, it was a natural flow?
No, it wasn't a natural flow. It was, there was a lot of blocking.
Okay.
Exactly, yeah. We started wide, and we had the protagonist and the actors, they had to hit some points, and then I was following them, and then we stopped and hit the close-up shots, etc. But everybody was very cooperative, because when we were shooting dialogue, everybody was quiet, and when it was party, everybody was like, ah! Yeah. So it was a very nice day or night.
So your music setup, you put little bits of music here and there, nothing ever overpowerful, but it's even present at the beginning. If you don't pay attention, you'll miss it. Was that your flow, just to kind of get my head space? Maybe like mind control, I guess, is what I'm looking at with the music. That was your plan, to keep sinking in. So when you got to the big points, which I'm not going to get into, I was prepped for them.
Well, for me, music is very important, and sound in general. I come from the music business. I was in music before, and I think music in movies is like a real big part of the image, of the story. It tells story. You can ruin a scene or put it up with music. So, and also because it's a radio story, even if it's a talk radio, those guys are really into music. So I think music needed to be present all the time. Almost all the time.
Almost. You got a lot of music. If you mind, I'm just going to focus on locations for a few seconds just so you know where I'm going. Okay, you have the pool location. How'd you get a pool? Did you know somebody with a pool or?
Uh-huh. The producer's house in Phoenix had a pool. So
easy.
The thing is, because we didn't have a lot of budget, we were more like thinking about what do we have? What can we do with what we have?
So is the house the producer's house then too?
Yeah. Houses, his house, his family house, friend's house, his car.
The bar, or is it a cafe? I couldn't quite figure out the place where they meet all the time.
Uh-huh. Unfortunately, that place is now closed.
Really? But,
yeah. They closed. It was an amazing place in Phoenix. And I bumped into it. I was looking for a cafe to have a coffee because I'm a, coffee addict. Real coffee, and I found that place, and so I asked them, this was beautiful, would you mind if we shoot a scene or two here, like an afternoon or a day? And they were enchanted, like, yeah, of course, come on, we love to participate in that kind of events, etc. So that's what we did.
I'm not gonna let you off that easily. What is this store really like? Is it a bookstore, a cafe? I could not figure it out.
Well, it was the owner had a I don't know how you call that, a smoke shop.
Yes, okay.
You know, where you sell all the stuff to smoke, yes, weed, etc. And on the side, he opened this place. And it's a cafe, and they were selling pastries and coffee, no alcohol, and they decorated it. It's all like psychedelic and crazy and colorful.
Looked awesome.
And there's even an alien. You know, in an alien figure in the, when you get in, like a puppet or something, big one.
Okay. So, let's get a little more. At one point, we have a character that reads a letter.
Mm-hmm.
Who had to write the letter?
The one who is, writing, I wrote it because it's in the script. But writing, handwriting, it was the actor that writes it in the movie.
Okay, you have a guy that's firing a gun. His outfit, where did that come from?
The guns.
No, the outfit of the guy firing the gun.
Which one? Which guy fighting?
It's right after the letter scene. There's a guy firing a gun with a different outfit.
Okay. Outfits, it's actors. We didn't have a costume department, so the actors were in charge of their own outfit.
So everybody in this thing, you just said wear something like this.
Yeah, more or less.
Now, how does that work as a director? I mean, have you ever, in this film, did you have somebody show up in the wrong outfit, say, nope, that's not going to work?
No, because we prepped a little bit, and we were kind of, we gave directions, and they were sending pictures. And everybody was really, really into it. Everybody wanted that movie to be made. So they were 100% committed. And, even the general had to find his outfit.
Okay. Now, let's just back. What prep did you have to do for them? I mean, obviously, script prepped, I understand that. And you might have done a little bit of blocking. But if you're low budget, you don't even have that time. So what prep did you put in for your low budget picture?
It's always like you try to prep as much as you can, but you know that it's going to be a lot of improv.
Yes.
So, you know, that kind of budget is like, you think you have this and then you have that and you have to adapt. And it was that all along. But fortunately, I was working with a great first assistant and she was solving like 95% of all the problems.
So did you shoot more than one scene a day then? Like you're just going like five a day then?
Depending on the day, we could shoot more than one scene a day. It was according to location. We went by location. We were in that room, so we stayed. We shot all the scenes of that room, and then we shot all the scenes of that other place, etc. Sometimes, six scenes. All the studio was shot in 1.5 days, for example.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to go meet a guy that looks like he lives in a castle. You know what I'm talking about. I presume that's just a drone shot of the castle.
Yeah, exactly. We didn't have a castle.
You know, I didn't.
The whole budget of the movie was to rent a castle.
Yes, well, it could have been.
One
shot of the castle. That's it. We blew it all, guys. We'll see you in 2 years.
That's a German.
The guy.
A German castle. A real one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's in Germany.
Ah, thank you. That's awesome.
If you want to look for it, it's in Germany.
Okay. When you're shooting the guy in the room, he has three objects over him. It's a very dark room with three kind of light patterns. I could not. Were those lights or what are they? I could not figure it out.
Oh, they are. It's a recipe secret.
I don't even know what that is.
You know, when you're cooking,
yes.
The recipe. So that's a cooking secret. I cannot tell you that.
You weren't going to tell me. Okay, I got it. I could not.
It was to figure kind of a, you know, inside the church, cathedral,
yes.
You have all these big round windows with drawings. I don't know how you call that in English.
Stained glass, I would say.
Uh-huh, exactly. That was that. And then there is a chandelier, huge one, on the top.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
So did you just turn down the lights and the whole thing, or did you have it all black around there or with drapery, or how'd you do it?
Well, it was actually, that scene was shot in a 4x5 room.
Okay.
Meter, 4x5 meter, with the black, drapery, and then you just expand it. I mean, you reduce the image and you expand the whole setting.
Okay. Now, you have a book in the bedroom the man is reading, a book on book. What was the book really?
What scene?
The book when your main character is reading a book in his bedroom. You have a cover of the book, which you obviously made. I wonder what the real book was.
I think it's the real book.
Oh, is that the real book? Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we don't have time to make covers.
Okay, now I want to jump to a sheet of paper with Nazi Germany on it.
Uh-huh.
How much fun was that to create?
Very funny. Well, the thing is that story comes from another story I was writing before, but that went too big. I was writing with a friend, and we decided that it was going to a Mission Impossible level movie, so we will never be able to make it. But so I had a lot of elements I could use in that one. So that one is kind of a prequel of the big other one.
Oh, interesting. Look at you sneaking little things in. When you were doing your old timey fashion, how'd you find those? Now, people don't have that stuff lying around.
Like what? Old-timey fashion?
You're showing photos of the Hitler and the stuff, and they're walking. Like, that's footage from another film? Or is that... I mean, obviously, it's filmed with actors. I mean, you don't have those clothes.
We have. I mean, that shot was shot in Barcelona, actually.
Okay.
And to be honest, before the movie was made and the script was written.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm telling you. This comes from another story. I already shot that scene thinking of making something like a trailer or a proof concept or something. I shot that with a friend in Barcelona, and he had the whole thing, outfit, the mic, you know, the old mic. And his place where we shot is like a kind of a museum. You have paintings and stuff. And because I had that, I thought about integrating that scene into the script. So I already had it before starting shooting.
Okay. Now let's back this up. You still being shot in Phoenix, and now you're telling me nothing was shot in Barcelona, just that one scene then?
Yeah, just that one scene.
Okay. Is there anything else in this film not shot in Phoenix then?
Yeah. There is a few shots shot in Mexico, because I was living in Mexico.
Okay.
But it's not, you cannot see it's Mexico. It's like buildings and stuff like that.
Fair enough. How did you find your actors? Did you put an ad out or did you know them?
In this case, I didn't know anyone in Phoenix. So we had, we did a casting like, through a backstage or Actors Access, maybe. I don't remember. But yeah, we had a casting, and it was quite tricky because we started very late, and so that's a like chapeau to Drew Lopez, because he had the script like 1 week before we started, the main character. Yeah, so we found him like last moment.
Okay, you do have a scene when he's putting a VHS tape into mm-hmm. projection. Is that really possible? I could not figure it out. I'm like, is there a VHS projection possible? It might be. Yeah, I've just never done it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, you can project anything.
Okay. I know I do digital projection, but I've never tried a VHS. I don't have one anymore to even test that theory out.
Yeah, but we don't see him put it in. We just see the tape, and then we see the projection.
I know.
And the film... it's supposed to be a copy, VHS yes. copy of a reel, you know, an old one.
Yeah, I knew that. I just wanted to go with that. Mm-hmm. Okay. The room with all the record albums in it, is that still the cafe? Oh, that's the bedroom. Who puts record albums on their bedroom?
The producer, collection. It was his house, and he had a bunch of vinyls like this. And so we decided to... put them on the walls.
I just thought that was strange. But a nice
one. Again, because this guy, the protagonist, he's a radio guy, he's a music lover. So he's into sound and radio and music. So that was his room.
Now, I got a lot of questions. When you're filming this thing, you seem to give me a lot. You start off very wide when we start off the film. And then obviously... any scene with the girlfriend, I find we're tight. We're always tight. And then mm-hmm. as I feel you're trying to tighten me down the film as we go. Like, I feel my world is closing at the same time. And then as you introduce music at different levels, it gets tighter again. Is that the plan?
Uh-huh, absolutely. It's to induce more paranoia and... real and tension, and also because the guy is closing on himself, so we are also closing on him.
Now, did you do that play with the lighting a lot more? Because I find the lighting changes too. And I'm not sure if you camera filtered me or not. I think in the end, you've changed filters on your camera to give me different looks.
Not really. It's more about locations and... And of course, maybe it's going darker.
Oh, it's definitely
like tunnel vision.
Now, when you were giving your actors direction, like different, you have different characters come in and out. Did you have to give them? I mean, you're very quickly shooting, obviously. I mean, you only have so many days. Did you have to give different characters different directions, saying you're this type of person? I need this. I mean, your lead actor really has to bounce off those people. So I guess I'm asking, what directions did you give them?
Well, in my opinion, casting is 50% of the movie. Meaning, if you have the right face, you're already kind of safe somehow. So that was the goal. First of all, a lot of the actors are not actors in this movie. And a lot of the actors that are trained are first timers. For example, Drew Lopez, the protagonist, who plays Andy, it was his first feature. Layla Collins, first feature. The general, not an actor.
Really?
Yeah, was an actor. He's not an actor.
Shocked.
Well, now he is.
Yes, now he is.
Because, you know, he tasted it and now he wants more. But he wasn't an actor. A lot of people in this movie were not actors or were like first timers. It's also because Phoenix, it's not Los Angeles. So you don't have a huge pool of actors like in Los Angeles, you know? So, and also because we had to rush, it's not as easy to find actors in Phoenix than it is in Los Angeles. Well, I mean, actors, the one you look for, you're looking for, you know?
How many days, we were lucky. How many days did you shoot this over?
I think it was 16 days.
Okay, so 2 weeks, roughly. Well, 2 weeks and a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say rushing, I mean, did you put an ad out? Like, I mean, he just got the script you told me a week before the shoot. So how early did you put your backstage pass looking for people?
Oof, maybe 3 weeks before.
Okay, so this is really tight.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, I'm going to talk briefly about the very last location of the film.
Okay.
How long did it take you to set that up? Or is that pre-made?
It was a day, an afternoon. You know, we had a art team. And yeah, I think they took a big afternoon to set that up.
Okay. That's all I got for you. If we can move to fun questions, that'd be awesome.
Of course.
Okay, your favorite film?
You're the boss.
Oh, I'm not the boss. I'm just here. Your favorite film, because it's your first time on the show?
Oh, my favorite film of all movies?
Yes.
Wow, I don't know. Well, I used to say Brazil with Terry Gilliam a long time ago, but I'm not sure anymore. I saw so many movies. I mean,
fair enough. Do you have a favorite film of last year?
Same thing. You know, last time I was with a friend and I was telling her, I'm watching 2 to 3 movies a day. And she said, oh, so, you know, can you tell me a good one? And I was like, no.
I get the same question all the time, but I usually can't.
I watch too many movies. I cannot remember the titles and stuff. Last year, yeah, maybe Reptile with Benicio del Toro.
I know exactly what movie.
I love that one.
Okay, just because you brought up coffee, I would like to know, what is a real coffee?
What is real coffee? Italian coffee. Espresso.
Okay. Before I let you go, tell everybody where they can find your stuff.
Okay, so you can find our stuff at Kinobarna, Kinobarna, on Instagram, on Facebook, and the movie is available on Amazon, Google Play, Tubi, and more, and in 10-plus countries.
Thank you for your time, and have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.